Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. As Christians, do we suffer? Do we groan? Today we continue our look at the theology for ministry in Paul's letter to the church in Rome. The difference for us as Christians is that when we suffer and groan, we have hope for God's glory to come. So grab your Bible, turn it to Romans chapter 8, and prepare your heart and mind as we join the Spirit's groan.
Please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and open them with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. We are still in the midst of a sermon series called The Theology for Ministry. And this is the fifth week of this series. I thought it might be a good idea to think about why are we looking at the theology of ministry. Well, as I said in the very first week, the theology is a scary word to a lot of people, but really what it means is simply the study of God. Comes from two Greek words, theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning word or study. So theology is really just the study of God, and that's what we do. That's what we study God. We study our Creator because we want to know Him. We want to know Him as we are known. As Jesus said, we are to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. And by studying God, we are loving Him with our mind. You know, God's faith doesn't ask us to completely disregard reason and logic and thought and intellect, but rather faith is bolstered by what we find by searching with our minds the very things of God. And so we study God's word, and we have before us this incredible letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome as instructions. They were falling into some bad ways. They were starting to lose their focus. They were starting to become, if you will, institutionalized. And as such, they started to set up their own little bylaws and rules. And those rules may have superseded God's commandments. They started to argue amongst themselves. They had some were Jews and some were converted pagans. But they were, the Jews were saying, well, you're not Jewish enough. You have to follow the law of God in order to be saved. Salvation is from the Jews. That's what Jesus said. And the pagans were saying, you know, well, we don't know your law, but we want to follow this person. We want to follow this God who laid down His life to save us. And so there was this derision and division between them. So Paul, in an effort to bring them back and focus them on the one important thing, which was the gospel message that Jesus died for the sins of the world. But the story didn't end with Him in the grave, because after 3 days He rose from the dead. And so that's what Paul is trying to tell us. Hear then the words of Paul in chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as I've shared before, I was not born a walker. I was not born a walker. In fact, I was born a Babbick. My name at birth was George Babbick. On my birth certificate, it says George B. And the reason it says George B. is because my mother gave me up for adoption. Well, she was 15 years old. She couldn't handle raising a child. And she didn't want me raised in her own family. And so she offered me to a family that couldn't have children on its own. And so I was adopted by the Walkers. I've always known that I was adopted. There was never a time when, you know, my parents sat down with me and said, listen, this is something that we have to tell you. I've always known. They surrounded me with, they had books. My mother had books that explained what adoption was to a little child. And so I've always known that I was adopted. And so I've always known that there was another part of me. See, I was born a Babbick. I was born with all the physical features of my mother and my father. My grandfather, when I met my grandfather at the age of 24, I found that I resemble him a great deal. And he was a man who came to this country from Hungary when he was 5 years old. And I look an awful lot like him. It's really striking. Recently, I found some pictures of my birth father, which is really interesting because I look an awful lot like him too. You know? But I don't have the characteristics, the personality that comes from being raised by my mother and my father. I have the characteristics and the personality of being raised by my mom and dad, the ones who were there since birth, Bob and Betty Walker. I talk a lot like my father. I act a lot like my father. I walk like my father. I bear a lot of the mannerisms and personality traits of both my father and my mother because they're the ones who raised me. So what does it mean to be adopted? To be adopted means you were not originally part of this family, but you are every bit a part of that family as if you had been born into it. And that's what Paul is talking about here. I want to look at this text. He says in verse 12, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." We don't owe the flesh anything. We don't owe the flesh anything. This is a temporary dwelling place for us while we are here on earth. But we don't owe the flesh anything. We are not debtors to the flesh, he says. He says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you give your whole life to just living for the flesh will give you what it can, and that is death at the end. But he says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. By the Spirit. By the Spirit. You know, we can only do these things by God's Spirit. We subject ourselves to God's Spirit. We subject ourselves to God's will. But it's only by His Spirit that we are able to put to death. Or as the King James says, mortify. Mortify. Put those things to death. The things of the flesh, the ways of the flesh. Be done with them. We don't owe the flesh anything, no matter what the flesh tells you. Sometimes you're going to be hungry and the flesh is crying out for food. And sometimes you're going to be tired and the flesh is crying out for sleep. But we don't owe the flesh anything. What we, everything we owe, everything we have comes from God. Everything we owe to God. God made us who we are. God gave us life. If God did not speak those words, if God did not, in the beginning, create the heavens and the earth, we wouldn't even be here. And so everything that we have, we owe to Him. So He says in verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. If you are led by the Spirit, that's a very important qualifier. Are you led by the Spirit? Are you led by the Spirit? He says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. When I was a child, we would go to the zoo. And my parents would lead me by the hand. They would. If you've ever been to the Philadelphia Zoo, it's a very busy place. I always think about this one old gorilla that used to be there. His name was Massa. Everybody's laughing. You know this gorilla. His name was Massa. And he was huge. I remember thinking, man, that's like the biggest gorilla ever on the planet. And he just sit there all day long and stare at people, you know. And he was an old, old gorilla. But my parents, every time they took us to the zoo or wherever, they would take us by the hand and they would lead us. And we would go where they led us. Now, there were times, like every other child, when you resist and they want to take you to the birdhouse, and you don't want to go to the birdhouse. I want to go to see the lions. So you're tugging and pulling. And we do that sometimes with God. We do that sometimes with God. God says, I want you to come over here. And you're like, no, I want to go over here. You know, we do the same thing with our Heavenly Father that I did with my earthly father, which is to tug and to pull and try to go in a different direction. Ultimately, however, what happens? Who wins? The Father. The Father always wins. My dad, you know, I'm 5'11", and my dad is 5'4", but I still respect my father because I know he can kick my butt, you know? And he's always been that guy who could kick my butt, and so I follow where he goes. So, verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. It's not when we are adopted, we don't become slaves to the family that adopted us. Now, adoption was actually a concept that they understood in Rome. When a child didn't have a family and needed a family, he could be adopted by another family. And when he's adopted, he becomes a member of that family. He doesn't become a slave to that family. He doesn't owe that family. But he becomes a member, a full standing member. And he even goes on in verse 16, and he says, when we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. children of God. And goes on, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. But there's a lot here. Let me start with Abba. Abba is an Aramaic term of endearment for one's father. Abba is the Aramaic equivalent to daddy. We are invited by God to call him daddy, to be that familiar with the creator of the universe that God calls us to say to him, Abba, daddy, father. That's how much he loves us. I told a story about when my son was a little bit older and he started to call me Brett. Thought it was funny. Well, other people call him Brett, you know, so I'll call him Brett. So, hey Brett, how you doing, Brett? And I said, now listen, you are my son. I said, there are only two people in the entire world uniquely qualified to call me daddy, and you are one of them. Nobody else in the world can call me daddy, but you can. And from that moment on, he's always called me dad. You know, and that's what God is saying to each and every one of us. You can call me daddy. I think about sitting in my father's lap and calling him daddy. The world melts away. I am so completely protected in that one moment. There's nothing that can touch me because I am in my daddy's lap. He says, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. When a child was adopted into a family in Roman society, and even today, that child became a member of the family, as if that child were a blood relative, even though maybe they were not. And he says, we are heirs. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, we are inheriting the kingdom of God. Joint heirs with Christ. And he says, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified in him. Do we suffer? Do we suffer? You know, we in America as Christians really have it pretty good. We don't suffer like Christians do around the world. You know, we talk about persecution. But he says, if we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Suffering. Suffering. The way Christ suffered. Christ suffered to the point of death, to be nailed on a cross, scourged and whipped. He bore the punishment for our sins. That's the suffering he's talking about. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. God's glory will be revealed to us, and everything that we are going through right now doesn't mean anything. It will pass. It will pass. We'll get through it because we have a hope. And he talks about that hope. I'm going to skip down to verse 24. He says, in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. What sets us apart from the rest of the world is when we suffer, we have hope. The Christians in Rome who went to their deaths willingly in the Colosseum at the hands of wild animals for the sport of the pagan Romans, They went willingly. They went joyfully because they knew that there was a hope, that whatever suffering that they were going to endure in this life would be completely forgotten in the glory of the next. We are heirs, children of God, and heirs of the kingdom of God. We inherit the kingdom of God. We have been adopted into the family of God through Christ. And we are joint heirs with Christ. He says, in hope we were saved. In hope we were saved. We have a hope today. And do we struggle? Do we groan? Just as Christ suffered for us, we now suffer and groan with all creation for Him. You know, this morning I invite you to listen to the groans of God's Spirit living within you. Submit yourselves as adopted children to the eternal and sovereign will of God the Father. Jesus bled and died for you. So what then are you willing to do for Him? Let us pray. Almighty, most loving God, we join in the groaning of creation. We join in the Spirit's groan. We humbly submit ourselves to You, our loving Father, who sent His Son into the world to pay the price for all our sins. Let us, O Lord, be obedient to Your will and prepare our hearts and minds as we go into the world to declare Your gospel. Abba, Father, all these things we pray in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.